Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, a good one, getting fired. Part one. Here we go. Today, we're going to have an upbeat cast and talk about the pleasant idea of being fired. What made you think about having this cast, other than being the dark mark kind of guy you are?
Oh, no, don't say that. I mean, look, it happens, right? And I've said before on air that I've been fired. I've said before that lots of the CEOs I know have been fired. I think that's a function of, you know, taking risks in your career. I don't wish it on anyone, but if it's going to happen, who's to say that you're going to run into somebody who knows what it's like and therefore can give you good guidance, good recommendations if it were to happen to you? So, you know, this is Career Tools and we talk about these kind of things. And, you know, when I got fired, I've used lots of analogies and I've told lots of people to some degree to take away the stigma from people of talking about it. And Wendy reminded me that I often compare being fired with the Winston Churchill quote that there's nothing so exhilarating as being shot at and missed. There's a great Indiana Jones film where the very first one where he's in a bar scene in Nepal, I think, and the bad guy gets the drop on him and the bad guy shoots, you think, and Indy looks down and grabs his chest as if to say, geez, I've been shot. And then he looks up and the bad guy's been shot by his girlfriend, Karen Allen, who shot him. And that was the sound of the gun that was going off. And that's what it feels like when you get fired. You think, oh my gosh, this is the end. And then like 30 seconds later, in some cases, or maybe 5 hours in some cases, people say, wow, I'm still me. I'm not my job. I'm not as bad as they think I am. They think I did poorly on something. Actually, my previous boss didn't really think that, but he just didn't like me. And look, the fact is, everybody can tell you that, but you can't know that until you've actually been through it. But hopefully saying it often enough, people will realize it and they won't panic and do stupid things. And, you know, once it's happened to you, you know, it's not that bad. No one's gone. Your family still loves you. You can find another job. People who get fired get rehired all the time. And the reason we're going to do this cast is there are better and worse ways to behave, right? There are smart things to do and dumb things to do. To me, being fired is an example of, it's just basically a test of your professional maturity, which, as I said before, includes emotional maturity. And, you know, if you handle it well, it can turn out to be a net positive in your career. It certainly has for mine.
I think the perspective we want to take today is not one of having been fired, because most of the people that I talk to, like you just said, once they're fired, they're shocked for a few minutes and then they settle down and go like, okay, I'm alive, right? My family still loves me. They develop a plan and they get through it. Matter of fact, I just had dinner with a good friend of ours a couple nights ago and he had been recently fired and he went through, you know, through some difficult times and he now has a job. He's now happy. Matter of fact, he said he's happier now than he's ever been. So there is life on the other side of being fired. I think where people spend the most of their negative energy is when they're worried about getting fired, when they think they might get fired or forced to resign. That's where folks really just cycle through a bunch of bad stuff. So how about we talk about it from that perspective, right? You think you might get fired, you're in trouble, what do you do?
I think this the recommendations apply if you think it's going to happen. But if you get surprised, all of these apply right afterwards.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of people do know that something is going to happen or they're pretty certain that it's been alluded to or hinted at or whatever, or maybe they even have clear advance notice. So yeah, I think these apply both ways. I think the problem, Mike, is that we tell people, hey, here are the things to do beforehand, and they won't do them. I mean, there's enough denial that we have to give them the out of saying, and if you don't do this stuff before you get fired, it's okay. Just remember, you'll be going through it afterwards, so you might as well listen then as well.
Great. So folks, just remember what Mark just said. You don't have to wait to get fired. As soon as you start worrying about it, these things apply. And of course, it applies after you get fired as well. So what are we going to talk about today?
All right, 6 points. First of all, don't fret. Don't worry. It's not going to be as bad as you think. We know we can't make you, you know, your feelings are your fault, but hopefully that helps a little bit and takes the edge off and allows you to think a little bit more clearly. Number two, don't assume the worst. because it's not the worst thing that could happen. Number three, you've got to prepare yourself and your family. You really do. I'm amazed at the number of people who have gotten fired and didn't tell their spouse for a couple of days. Wow. Number four, prepare your network. Number five, you've got to prepare your work. There's stuff to be done. And then you got to be ready to prepare an answer so that when people ask you, you can be candid. And you may have to practice, because the vaguer you are, the weirder people will think something really bad or different or wrong happened. And you don't want to do that. And candor can disarm people and bring them to your side much more quickly than vagueness.
Absolutely. Okay. So this idea of not fretting, right? Man, whether you've been just fired or you think it's getting ready to happen, worrying doesn't do you a whole lot of good, right?
Yeah, it's not helpful. As I've said before, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it didn't get you anywhere.
Yeah. And it happens all the time. So if you're doing it right now, then don't beat yourself up. It's pretty common and understandable. It's just not helpful. That's all.
Yeah, I told somebody once that our lives seem like we're driving in a car and you look ahead and there are big mountains in front of you that you've got to go over in your car. And then you look back on the road behind you and there are small bumps along the way. And worry makes the bumps look like mountains, right? It's turning molehills into mountains, basically. It's like having your engine revving, but not engaging the clutch, not engaging the gearbox and putting it in gear. And there's energy without action, which is a wasteful thing in today's world. And look, worry and anxiety are not helpful in terms of what they do to your body, the chemical reaction. You know, there's part of our body, the hard wiring, it's still wired for being chased by tigers and having to kill things and eat them. And when you start worrying, when you have anxiety, those chemicals literally on purpose protect your brain from working properly about thinking about all the things that need to be done relative to being fired and talking to people and so on. You know, when you're under threat from a tiger, you don't have to be thinking about the seven steps you've got to go through to get your finances in order and so on. It's kind of fight or flight.
You just run, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or not run. I actually don't watch those shows, so I wouldn't know what to do. But
yeah, that's what our brain is designed to do when we're anxious. Find a solution and execute. So whether you're about to be fired or, frankly, if you're up against any significant problem at work, you don't want one solution. Okay. You want to be taking action on many fronts. And that means having ideas, being clear about where those ideas are coming from, being able to evaluate and compare them and so on. If you're worrying, you're going to start eliminating things. You're going to think of it and then eliminate it because you're going to feel bad that it's a bad idea and just eliminate it. You're going to waste a lot of energy. You're going to miss good ideas. And you're going to end up with a much more higher likelihood of choosing the wrong thing. So please try to work yourself out of worrying. And Wendy, at times, has shared that she's a worrier, says, look, give yourself 5 minutes and write everything down you're worried about. Then write down either the solution or the worst thing that could happen based on that activity. So, for example, you could write down, I'll be fired, I'll have no money, and I'll lose the house. The solution, move in with my parents. Writing it down causes you to have to think, first of all, about writing. It reduces the worrying because you're having to think about outcomes and actions and so on. And it slows your brain down, takes it away from worrying and helps you start thinking creatively. And look, we're not saying that all of these things are going to happen. That's the whole point. You're only going to choose maybe one or two actions. But if you write it down, it'll slow you down enormously. And that increases the chances that you'll be able to have good ideas.
Yeah, I found this absolutely to be true. I mean, that's the way I deal with stress, not over worrying about getting fired. And sometimes, not often, but there are times where all in bed and I can't sleep for a couple hours because my mind is just too busy working through a particular problem. And it's usually a problem, right? And all I do is if I get up out of bed, I go downstairs, I sit down at the kitchen table, I get a pen and paper, and I just write down, here are the next three things that I am going to do. You know, people I'm going to call, tasks I'm going to complete, or whatever. Here are three steps I'm going to take to solve this problem. I write them down, I go back up to bed, and I'm asleep within 30 seconds. It is amazing just getting it out of your head, right?
Yeah. Yeah, literally, it's a bit like Harry Potter, the pensieve in Harry Potter, right? You stick that pen to the side of your head, that stuff comes out of your head, and you're free of it.
Yeah, so you think of Harry Potter, and I think it's akin to David Allen's technique for stress management. But hey, exactly Harry Potter works, I guess.
Who's the wizard? Who's the wizard? Right. Yeah. I read an article recently about the Dallas Cowboys football coach getting fired, Wade Phillips, I think. And it talked about how clumsy it was, the way it was announced and how people heard about it even before he did and just all that kind of stuff. It's not a ding on him, of course. It's a ding about how the firm, how the Cowboys handle it. But look, it just reminded me that politicians and football coaches and TV stars and CEOs and senior executives get fired publicly and far more often than those of us in more regular jobs. The one thing they know that so many of us don't seem to get is that it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter because they have $500,000 in the bank. They've learned that they're not as bad as someone saying your performance is bad. They've learned that that is only one part of their life and everybody has setbacks. You know, as Churchill also said, by the way, failure is not fatal. You know, comebacks are good things. So stop worrying. As Mike would say, write some things down. As Wendy would say, write some things down and recognize that worrying is going to cause you to jump on your first idea rather than giving yourself the chance to think through some things and action some of the things that we're going to recommend you do here.
Good. Okay. Next. Yeah, closely related, right, to our first point about not fretting. Don't paint this picture of the future that assumes the absolute worst of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And if you haven't been fired yet, stop assuming you're going to.
Yeah, in fact, that was a concern that you and I talked about with this cast, that if you talk about being fired beforehand, people are going to be like, oh gosh, this is, you know, then I, once I know that I'm about to be fired, I should go through this whole process. Folks, that's not what we mean here. What we're saying is, if you know you're going to be fired, if it's been made clear to you, but someone hasn't officially announced it, that's one thing. But just because you did something poorly and then you're thinking, gosh, might they fire me? You don't want to assume, oh gosh, I'm going to get fired. And so therefore it's going to be miserable. I'm going to start worrying and I've got to prepare my family and everything else. You know, we're talking about pretty close to certainty here, but if you don't know for certain, the problem is too many people, they hear that, you know, things went poorly and they got to go see some VP or something. And, you know, they performed badly. Maybe it was their fault. Maybe it was a circumstance or whatever. They fear they're going to be fired. And then they perform even more badly because of it. They become so nervous about meeting with a VP that they're incapable of performing well. So folks, don't fall into this trap. Until the moment you've been fired or frankly, you choose to resign in the face of termination, you have not been fired. This is really the opposite of until you got something, you got nothing. The rule of offers that we talk about in the interviewing series. Until the moment security is walking you out the door, and if your company's nice, they won't do that, but too many companies aren't nice, and so most companies do, you have an opportunity to redeem the situation. It's as simple as that. Assume you're staying and plan what you're going to do, what activities you've got, and so on, to turn things around. Reassess your priorities. Work out how you're going to get those done. You know, and as Wendy often says, she talks to a lot of people about folks and they wonder how they got in the situation they're in. And she's amazed that how often the thing that people think is not important, that they admit their boss says is essential. Hey, by the way, that's a priority, folks.
Yeah, that'd be the definition of priority.
Yeah. And it happens and people get in trouble for that. And bosses get angry about, hey, I keep telling you the same thing and you keep not working on it.
Yeah, there's two parts to it, right? One is, hey, the boss has determined it's important. You have to assume that your boss has more information than you do, and it's likely right. That it, in fact, is important, even though you think it's not. Then secondly, by not working on it, after probably having discussed it several times, you're poking your boss in the eye, and
yeah.
She doesn't appreciate that.
Yeah. Generally speaking, that's been my experience as well, that they don't. maybe it's just me. And if you think the problem is somebody else, like you feel like you're getting fired for somebody else's malfeasance or something else, the question is work out what you can do to change your situation. What actions can you take? And doesn't include throwing somebody else under the bus.
Well, yeah, you can spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to change others, and it's like wishing for rain. It's either
going to happen
or it's not
going to happen.
You have no impact on that.
Certainly not because you wish for it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm surprised how often people don't follow our third piece of advice here, which is preparing yourself and your family. I mean, the idea that you'd be even on the bubble, worried about getting fired, and you would not share that with your spouse is amazing to me. But we see it, right? We see it all the time.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. It just causes the problem to be so much more significant.
I have a good friend who, I think I may mentioned it before on a cast, a bank president, was fired for a completely harmless error, but they had a black and white rule about it. And he's a great guy and a great bank president. The bank still misses him. And when I heard about it, I said, you know, how's your wife taking it? She said, well, I haven't told her yet. And this is like 4 days afterwards. I'm like, what?
I had a family member who got fired, and for weeks, he got up in the morning, went to quote unquote work, and came home in the evening. And he was essentially going to Starbucks for weeks before finally telling his wife.
Mm.
Amazing. Now I have to explain to my wife that, one, I got fired, and two, I lied about it for a long period of time. Good.
Yeah.
Great way to start that conversation.
Yeah. What should I believe, right? Despite the fact we've told you folks that all is not lost, you still need to prepare for leaving, right? You can take actions to try to save things if, in fact, you think it's savable. That's good. If you think it's not savable, then it may still be savable. But if you know it's not savable, okay, then you need to prepare for leaving. And look, that may mean your resignation because it saves you something. You ought to know whether or not resigning or firing will change your financial status. But look, the effect is the same in either one in terms of external to work, which is you're going to be out of work, and that's going to affect your cash flow. So the first thing on the list is tell your spouse. And look, it's simple. If you don't, how can you work out how you're going to get through this together? Your relationship with your spouse is more important than your job. It's no use not telling him or her until the day you come home having been fired and then find out that he or she spent, you know, $5,000 on a non-refundable vacation. That's not their fault. They thought everything was secure, right? I mean, you know, talk about the options that you have and talk about what would happen, what would your options be if the worst happened, and then plan for those contingencies. And of course, one of the things you're going to have to do is look for a new job, certainly. But planning for, oops, how long might I be unemployed? And going through something like this together is going to be easier. Now, you might say, gee, I'm going to be embarrassed and it's going to, you know, my spouse is going to be disappointed in me. Yeah, those things are both true. There's no question those things are both true. And as Mike said, if you lie to your spouse about it or don't tell your spouse, or your spouse finds out surprised about what happened and you're not ready to tell him or her, that just makes it worse. That makes them adds the extra bit of what else don't I know on top of it, which makes them less of a good partner to you during the process.
Yeah. And I suspect that most of our listeners are not going to dispute at all the fact that they ought to tell their spouse, right? That's most people saying, well, okay, that's pretty obvious. But again, we got to talk about it because some people don't.
Yeah, because they know they ought to, but they don't.
Yeah.
There are people who don't for a couple of days.
But I have a different question for you because I think this is less clear in people's minds. What about telling your children? What do you think about that?
Yeah, of course you do. Now, okay, if they're three, that may be different.
Okay. Well, they probably don't understand it anyways. But
yeah, but if they're old enough to understand it, then yeah, absolutely. In today's modern economy, you can't call yourself a well-prepared professional without 6 months of savings that you can live on in the event of an enormous business disruption, to include you making a dumb mistake and getting fired. Okay. So if you don't have 6 weeks saved, you might have to, you know, be really, really careful for the next couple of weeks. And the kids may be surprised by that, to go from buying their lunches at school to brown bagging and so on. Why are we doing this? You know, look, as somebody who's been fired and somebody who's told my kids, I can tell you it absolutely is the right thing to do. Kids are resilient. They're receptive. They understand. They get it better than us as adults that someone else fired their mom or their dad. Their mom and their dad didn't fire themselves, probably didn't deserve it. There are so many stories about layoffs that there's sort of a distancing of the company's behavior from the individual's behavior. And yeah, firing is different than being laid off. Look, folks, it's better to have them on your side than wondering why their mom or their dad is so upset and something gets spilled in the kitchen and there's yelling and screaming because, geez, we can't, you know, we can't replace that gallon of milk because we're worried about cash flow. You know, there's Wendy shared with me something that's really funny. I kind of laughed, even though there's some inherent gender bias, which is all women know that when you have money to spend, there's nothing to buy. And when you have money, there's nothing you like. It's a law of shopping that when you really need something, you won't be able to get it or it's really expensive. So be ready to take action regarding your finances. Talk to your spouse, talk to your kids, be smart. You know, in the first day or two, go check on your interviewing suit. Make sure that it's sharp, that it fits. If it doesn't fit, get it tailored. If you need to buy a suit, don't not plan and then get close to an interview and not have the money to buy a suit and not have one that fits. And look, folks, in the U.S. anyway, you don't need to spend more than $200 on a suit. You can go to Men's Warehouse and get a suit tailored for $200. You can get a great shirt for $30 ordered from Land's End, pinpoint Oxford cloth, button-down white shirt. I'm sure your shoes are fine. I'm sure you have socks. And ladies, I'm sure that if you went to a store, you could get what you need for $100. It may not be a $1,000 suit. And frankly, the vast majority of jobs in the world don't require you to have a $1,000 suit to be interviewed for them. But you need to be sure you've got that so that when you're toward the end of your savings and you finally get an interview, you're not out of luck. And this is all just part of preparing your family.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you again next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.